tea.
No need to worry.
Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Privilege of studying your word today, and we pray that your comforting ministry will minister to us where we are, but then your encouraging ministry will take us to the place that you would have us to be. Pray that the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost will meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we're teaching so that every hearer's heart may see him or her in the text and then be led to make progressive changes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be talking about what are you doing with your talent. Now, I wanted to say talents, but some of us only have one. But I want to say that's enough. That's enough. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. I'm going to read that for us. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14 through the 30th. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24 says, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away every what? every what? Even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, one of the things that I want to know is, what are you doing with your talent? Now, though your talent is money, it's given as a form of exchange, a good service, etc. It is used in a myriad of different ways. Talents can be certain gifts and abilities God has given you to do for both his kingdom and for your good. It is so that you, whom the Lord has designed and made unique unto yourself, has given each of us a minimum of one talent. Many of us are multi-talented, but everybody, some way, somehow, whether they've tapped into it or not, has got a talent. And the question is, and we want to start at the base, because if we start at the base, we will catch everything above. And so the question to you is a personal question. It's not to be answered to me or to anyone else, but to you and to the Lord. What are you doing with your talent? Let's look at the word, because time won't allow me to deal as deeply as I'd like to deal with these scriptures and all of the things that happen with it. But we want to just look at the fact that God, and he uses this illustration to show you again how God rewards those who utilize what he has blessed you with, whether it's one thing or multiple things. And the only way you're going to be blessed the way God wants you to is to use what he's given you the way he desires you to use it. So when we're talking about rewarding of the diligent, he says, well done. We just covered that. Good and what kind of servant? Faithful servant. Eternal life is the gift of God to all who believe, but rewards, now focus in on what we're talking about, but rewards are only for the servants who have been good and faithful. Good. Let's look at it in the context of this text. Good meaning to make good out of what has been given to you. And in order to make good out of what's been given to you, you've got to be faithful, because sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's not developed instantaneously. So, but when you are faithful with what God has given you, has gifted you with, has blessed you with, and you continue to develop that talent, then because of your faithfulness, you will reap the good out of the talent or the gift that God has. So that good and faithful is a team, a tag team effort in taking what God has given to you and working with it until you bring out the good of the talent or the gift. The promise is not to the successful. He didn't say to the successful. He said, thou good and faithful servant. But the good and faithful servant will, in God's sight, always be successful. You've got some folk who are successful in this world do not qualify as good and faithful in God's eyes. But good and faithful in God's eye will always be successful. And so that's one of the things that we've got to know, that if you know how to please God, he'll make your enemies be at peace. Now, it don't mean they're gonna like you anymore. It just means they know they can't touch you. They know there's someone bigger than you that's dealing with the situation. And so when you recognize that you're about pleasing God, you'll be successful in his sight. And when you're successful in his sight, he's going to cause that to manifest in your natural light. Now listen, this reward was threefold, and we want to look at rewarding the diligent. First, commendation. Now everybody loves commendation. He says, what was the commendation? Well done. Well done. How many of you like to be complimented on a job well done? You know, some of us, I don't care. Some of us are self-motivated. Some of us are motivated by other motivators. And some of us are not motivated, don't care who does the motivation. But when you are motivated to do a good job, it's just good moral support when someone compliments you or recognizes or acknowledges you, pats you on the back, says, you know what, that was a great job you did. Didn't say it was perfect. Don't have to be perfect. Don't have to be. But knowing, again, all of the things connected with the job, they say and recognize that you used what you had and it came out to be as good as it could be. Well done. Well done literally means that it is done well. And that's all you want God to say. Well done. You've done well. That's all you want your boss to say. Well done. You've done well. That's all you want, you know, anything or anybody that you, you know, esteem as above you and who is, you know, watching you and who would be able to appreciate you to say, well done. You know, I mean, I don't know really, really honestly and sincerely nobody who's all of that don't mind somebody saying you've done a job well done. I don't need anybody to tell me I did a good job. I know I did a good job. You got issues. You got issues. So commendation, and that's important, even with children, even in school, even with parents teaching children. Do you know how important and how it builds the self-esteem in a child when you say, good job, Johnny. Oh, mama's proud of you. Daddy's proud of you. That's wonderful. Keep up the good work. And when you say things like that on things that they've done, you inspire. People usually strive to become what those who, again, are above them speak to them. Well, you ain't nothing. Well, I sure ain't got to do much to preach to you then, or prove nothing to you. Because you done already said I ain't nothing, so why should I do something? You know, well, then that go my dreams. Now, see, some people who are self-motivated will hear that and turn it around and use it as fuel. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you say I'm not going to be nothing. I know I'm something. I may not be nothing to you, but I'm going to show you I'm something. And they'll take the negativity and turn it into a positive. But everybody can't do that. Everybody doesn't have underneath the skin built in the instilled knowledge of who they are, whose they are, and can rise above others' opinion of you. Never live according to what others think of you, but rather what you know about you. Because if you know you're a winner, it doesn't matter if you've lost this particular race. It doesn't matter if you failed in this particular thing. Because you are a winner, that's not all there is to the story or the equation. And again, how many times have you seen a boxing match or so forth where the boxer lost the first round, won the second round, lost 10 rounds, and then knocked the fella out in the 11th round? It don't matter if you lost all 11 rounds and in the 12th round you knock out your opponent. It only comes when it has to be judged at the end because that was not a TKO, a technical knockout. And so what you got to realize is sometimes you may lose bouts, but you're not a loser. And so sometimes as you fall, you get up and you are strengthened, your resolve is strengthened, and you refocus and you go back and you do more the next time than you ever would have done on that first level. So when it says well done, you need to recognize God when he says this about this man, it's commendation. God will say that to us. This is Jesus speaking. That's what he wants to say to us at the end. That's an abundant entrance to what? To favor. That's an abundant entrance to the heart of God, to the desire of God. When you have him saying, well done, you get into an entrance place with God where God starts opening up the choicer blessings or the choicest blessings. And so when you get to that place, because well done is reserved for the people who have done well. Then there's another thing that this word here for the diligent in being rewarded. Exaltation. I will make thee ruler. Now listen at this now. This is a place of distinction and honor. This is the master talking to his servant saying, because you have done well, and I want you to see these because these are biblical principles. God is not under warrant to support you in unwell doing. Now, especially when he's given you, listen at this, the talent. He can't expect you to do anything with nothing that he has given you. But when he's giving you something, and something come before some things, if you don't do well with the one thing, he's not under obligation to give you more things. So the exaltation is, because you have done well with what I've given you, I, speaking about him, will make thee ruler. See, what you don't understand many times is, it's what you do here that's going to prepare you for there. It's how you develop your skills. It's how you develop your faithfulness. It's how you develop your commitment to the small things right now that bosses and masters and leaders are looking at, how you handle yourself before you become successful. See, successful folk don't become successful overnight. They are successful before the world discovers they are successful. And all that happens about successful people is they are magnified and spotlighted on what they've already been doing. They're just successful folk who are yet unsuccessful, or just unexposed folk who are just, who's just not had the spotlight shined on them yet. Because you don't change nothing you're doing when you become successful. You don't change nothing. What you have done is what has made you successful. So when you get successful, you don't change stuff. It's just a magnification and a glorification of the things that you have been doing since the beginning. And what happens is, you do a common thing, one person said, uncommonly well. Everybody's doing it because it's common, but everybody's not doing it uncommonly well. And that's what sets you up above everybody else, everybody else, everybody else. They're all doing it. What separates you? What makes you? It's five people applying for one job. What's going to make the man hire you? Tell me something. What you like? Well, I like people. Well, that's good. And you know, a few of the little things that everybody says. Well, you know what's going to be? What's going to be the litmus test? It's going to be what you do better than anybody else. Because everybody, you know, do all of those things, but it's the one who does it best. It's what he sees in that person that's uncommonly better than the others who are doing it. So that's a place of distinction and honor I will make. And see, you got to remember, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. He said, I will make thee ruler. You're not doing it. All you can do is do well. And when he says well done, then he will promote you to a place of honor and distinction. That's exaltation. But the third thing is communion. Because God wants to commune with successful people. And successful people come into the place of success by learning how to do things well. And God wants to surround himself with people who do common things uncommonly well. He wants to surround himself with people who are going to take serious their talent and maximize the effort, regardless of the talent being 1, 5, 10, or 20. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, a condition of fullness of blessing, a happy fellowship. You see, that's what's called the inner circle. See, there were 12 in Jesus' circle. 9 were in the general circle, but 3 were in the inner circle. They were not his favorites, they were his intimates. And they were intimates because they were the ones who endeared Jesus the closest, held to his words and applied his words, and did what he did and said to, what he said to everyone, better than all of the other 9 did. And so he embraced them because they did well before him. And he made them. He exalted them. When he went on the Mount of Transfiguration, getting ready to go to Calvary, he took who? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. When he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, getting ready to deal with what he had to deal with, he took Peter, James, and John, and the Bible says, and he went a little further. Okay? See, there are some people you can't go too far with. And the people who do well, you can go further with them. Now listen to this. Jesus took the people who did well to the higher spiritual levels with him because they were the ones who could handle it. Everybody can't handle the upper level experiences. So the Lord is wise enough not to take them there. But when you do well, you're saying, Lord, I want what you want for me, and I'm ready to go with you. And if you're really ready to go, you're going to do well what he gives you to do. That's how. Listen, he didn't disqualify anybody else from coming. He didn't pick and choose who would do what they did. I mean, other than calling them all as the disciples and choosing all 12 of them, but he didn't choose who would be the leaders as such by saying it. It's what he saw in them, and it's what they proved themselves to be. It's what he proved themselves, they proved themselves to be. And so as a result of that, they had communion with him. They could fellowship with him in places spiritually that the others could not. He called them and he dealt with them one-on-ones when he dealt with the others in groups. Why? Because when you do well, you have won that privilege of communion with the master. Now that's important. That's important. Let's move on to something else right quick to help you see the other side. The doom of the unprofitable. We saw the rewarding of the diligent, but now if we just go back to the scriptures we read, you're going to see there is a flip side. If there is a rewarding of the diligent, then there's got to be a doom of the unprofitable. Because God don't reward the unprofitable. He's not giving you stuff just because you belong in the group. Listen at this. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer what? He don't even want to see him. Get him out of my face. Take him out of my sight. Because that was no excuse for failure. How many times do we make excuses for failure? Well, you gave him 2 talents, you gave him 5 talents, you only gave me 1 talent. Well, you know why I gave them 2 talents, and you know why I gave them 5 talents? Because I know they were going to maximize and use it. You know why I gave you 1 talent? To prove to you that you were the one who would determine whether or not, if he would have just maximized the one, he would at least have 2. He gave you 1 life, so if you use it right, you'll have 2. I'm going to help you understand that. You were born first naturally, but if you do it right and become born again, you'll have a 2nd life. Somebody not hearing me yet. And so, you listen at this. Some of you will be like the people who watch the show, or you, I don't even know if it still comes on, 1 Life to Live. Well, that's like the 1 time. What you gonna do with it? Bury it? Because all you're living for is here and now, on this side. You're not looking for the other side and the benefits of what God offers. And so this is what this gentleman did. He took his 1 talent, he took his money, and he buried it. The master said, you know, you said some pretty hard things about me. And they were true. You know I reap where I didn't sow. You know, I gathered where I didn't straw. You call me a mean man. Well, that's crazy to know that much about me and still act the way you acted. You knew I wasn't going to take this sitting down. It wasn't like you didn't know me. You knew that would set me off. And you did what you did anyway. Well, then you were asking for that. And that's why I listen to this, because I want you to see this. You don't have an excuse when you at least have 1 talent. Amen. Touch your neighbor and tell him, if you're here, you don't have an excuse. All you got to do is maximize what you do have, that 1 talent. Listen at this. I want you to see these things right quick. First thing is, this man was willful and neglectful. He hid his Lord's money. He hid it. He didn't want to work it. He got an attitude. This all he gonna give me? I ain't gonna even bother myself about this. Dug a hole and hid the money. Listen again. He had hard thoughts about his Lord. I know thee, an hard man. I know thee. You know me? You know I'm hard? And you're gonna act like you're acting? You aren't too bright. He had a slavish fear. I was afraid. Well, he should have used that fear in a positive way instead of a negative way. He said, I know thee. I know you're a hard man. I know you've done these things. I know you've reaped where you didn't sow. I know you've gathered where you didn't straw. I know you. I mean, why would I play with you? Look like I would want to do my best. But a slavish fear causes you to be afraid so that it paralyzes your efforts so that you are not profitable or productive. Look again. Fourth reason really was he was slothful. He was lazy. He was lazy. He really didn't want work. Can I tell you, people who really want work, when they come right down to it, if they can't get what they want immediately, they at least have the good sense of saying, I'm gonna work this until I can get to where I want. I know my future is not in this or in that, but it may necessitate that I start right here and keep myself going until I can get to where I know I want to be. Now, you got somebody broke, hungry, ain't got money to pay no bills, sitting up in the house talking about McDonald's. I ain't working at no McDonald's. I got a college degree. You also got a case of brokenness. Okay, I can tell you that degree sitting up there and you not working nowhere is not going to send you a check every month on the 1st, the 15th, the 30th, or whatever. You're going to have to get out there. Sometimes, even with a degree, you've got to take a job that doesn't require a degree until you can get positioned and get your foot in the door where that degree opens the door. Ain't nothing to be ashamed about that. There are some millionaires working and started on fries at McDonald's. Some of them started on fries at McDonald's and now they own McDonald's. So it depends on where you want to go. I ain't going to work at no convenience store. Ain't nothing convenient about working there. Okay. Now I'm just trying to tell you, because somebody's in here who God has given a talent to, and yet they're not maximizing the one talent, and they don't want, because they feel, you know, their pride is up here, they ought to be doing this, and that's wonderful. And you can keep that same pride while you're doing what you're doing down here, because you know this too shall pass. You know this is just for a season. You know this is helping you to transition to where you want. You know you can smile when they look at you and they're laughing at you, but you're laughing because you know where you're really on your way to. And they think that's all you're going to get, but they don't understand. God sometimes just want to see if you're going to humble yourself until he opens the door. You got to do some things you don't want to do to get to what you do want to do. Any witnesses in the house? Sometimes you got to work for other folk before you can work for yourself. Sometimes you got to learn how to do the things you don't want to do so that you can do the things that you want to do. And so you use your talent. He was lazy. He ain't want to do nothing. Then wickedness was a part of it. Wickedness means morally very bad. Evil. Now, because again, he thought bad of, and see, when people, this is what people don't understand, a lot of times they say about you what they are. Y'all will catch that on your way home. See, a lot of times when folk call you names, they're really looking inwardly and speaking outwardly. And so he was wicked man and morally very bad and evil because he didn't even do what he was supposed to as a servant. He was given that money, listen people, to invest. He was given that money not to hold, but to grow. So, I mean, he thought of every excuse of why he didn't use the money and work the money and make the money work for itself, because he was too lazy and he was evil and he thought he would make the man feel bad about who he was. It didn't work. You can't make God feel bad about giving you one talent. And I need you to know that the scripture said that the man gave them talents according to their ability. Why would God give you three talents when you're not doing anything with one? Now, he's got to give you one talent because he's got to give you something to work with. And when you prove to him you can work with that something, then he